Our sermon text comes from Ephesians chapter 4. And you can find that on page 1148 in the Pew Bible. Ephesians 5, and starting with verse 8, and we'll read through 16. Hear God's word. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Amen. You may be seated. So, our Father, we want to call on your name. We just heard your word read. And now we pray Paul's prayer that you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts, so that we would see what you would want us to see from this word. Open our eyes so that we can see Jesus. Open our eyes so we can see the truth, and that truth would indeed set us free, because you have made us new in Christ, and we are no longer darkness, but light in the Lord. And so give us grace to believe, and then for that belief to change how we live. For we ask it for your name's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're in a sermon series, The Redeemed Walk, and this week is part two. Last week we talked about walking in love. This week, walk in light. Walk in light. Now, light is a huge theme in the Bible. And one of the first things that happens in the creation narrative, Genesis 1, and we could even turn to Genesis 1:1, the first page and first verse in the Bible. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So I just read to you the creation narrative, creation history. Day one was all about creating and making light shine. And that was all that happened on day one, was for God to say, "Let there be light," and there was light, and then to separate the light from the darkness and to call the light day and the darkness night. Amen. And that was Genesis 1. Do you know Genesis 21? Revelation 21 and 22 also talk about light, that in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be light, but there will not be a sun or a moon, and there will be no night. No night there. There's a hymn by that name, No Night There. And that'll be awesome in heaven, no night, because it'll be all day, and the light in heaven will be God himself and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And 1 John tells us that God is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so now I want to ask you a question. Some of you are Bible students. All of us should be Bible students. We're all called to be disciples, learners, followers of Jesus. Who is the light of the world? Jesus. And you are. Didn't we read that in Matthew chapter 5:14? You are the light of the world. Well, how can that be? I thought Jesus was the light of the world. Well, he is. But those who have trusted in Jesus are in Jesus, and so they also are light in the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so, if you're next to someone who's a believer, turn to them and say, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Amen. Not because of what you've done, but because of who Jesus is, you've trusted in the light of the world, and that light has come into your heart and life through the Holy Spirit. And so now you are the light of the world as well. And what we want to talk about today is this, that we are children of light. We are children of light. It says in verse 8, for you were formerly, or you were once darkness, but now, this is one of those famous but nows in the Bible, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And so our proposition this morning is this, the main thought is, in Christ, you are light, therefore walk in light. In Christ, you are light, therefore walk in light. In other words, you are, so now go and be who you are. And that's typical Bible for how we ought to live. First, believe the truth, and then because you believe, there's something to do as a result. But what needs to happen is we need to have our minds changed, because sometimes we have trouble believing the truth. And so what do we need so that we can believe? What do we need so that we can have faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Beloved, we must feed our faith with God's word. Now, don't come crying to me that your faith is weak if you're not feeding yourself with God's word. Crack open that Bible, get into that Bible, start reading one chapter, two chapters, three chapters, four chapters a day. If you really read it in prayer, trusting the Lord will strengthen you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
If you don't believe it, try it. It'll make a believer out of you. Amen? Amen. We need to believe the truth that of what God says, you were once something, but now you are something else. Ephesians 2:2, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You once walked according to the course of this world. Or Ephesians 2:3, we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. Or Ephesians 2:13, you were once far off, far from God, and without hope in the world. Or to use Amazing Grace, I once was lost. I once was blind. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. So we need to believe the truth of what we were, past tense, but then also we need to believe the truth of who we are now. Amen. But now, what are you? You are light in the Lord. Let me say that again. But now, if you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, you are light in the Lord. Do you believe it? We need to ask ourselves that question. Jesus asked, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? We need to believe it. We need to ask ourselves, do we believe it? Believe the gospel. Believe the good news. What is it? What is the gospel? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have everlasting life in Christ by faith, by believing, not by doing, but by believing. But believing will eventually drive our doing, not the other way around. Amen?
Amen?
So we believe in order to do. We don't do in order to believe. And I hope that that's clear. Now, if you have believed in Christ as the light of the world, as your Lord and Savior, then you are light in the Lord. So believe the truth. That's the first point. The second is be who you are. Be light. And that requires a new kind of walk. Walk like children of light. Do you know that God, our Father, is the Father of lights? He is the Father of lights. It says, every good and perfect gift. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Amen? Where does it say that? Verse 17 of James 1, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor any shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth or caused us to be born by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. You ever think of yourself as God's first fruits? What are first fruits? Well, first fruits are like the cream of the crop. And the cream of the crop is brought in to the temple and given to the priests, and which means they're given to God. The best and the first is given to God. God's people, God considers them the first fruits, the best and the first of the creatures he's made. Wow. That's what God says about us. That's what God says, then that's what it is. Amen? Believe the truth that you are light in the Lord. And now walk as children of light. Be who you are. So we need to believe the truth. We need to be light. We also need to be fruitful. Be fruitful. It says in verse 9, for the fruit of the light or the fruit of the Spirit consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn or learning or proving what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, the fruit of righteousness does not make a good tree, but it confirms or shows that the tree is good. Amen? So if the tree is good, guess what? The fruit will be good too. Amen? A couple weeks ago, my family had the opportunity to go to an orchard up in Connecticut and pick some apples. Nothing like picking fresh apples off the tree. And most of the trees were good, but there was a bad tree. And they were getting ready to cut it down because it was diseased. And the fruit weren't so good on it either. But the good trees, they were bearing good fruit. I'm a witness. So the fruit of righteousness does not make a good tree, but it confirms or shows that the tree is good. John Piper said that. And so we don't do in order to be, we be in order to do. Now here's a problem. You know, we often say, well, I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by grace through faith. And that's true. Ephesians 2:8 says that. But then we think that, well, since I'm not saved by my works, it doesn't matter what I do. I don't need to do good works. Well, that's not true. That's wrong. And so I'm here to correct that misunderstanding. So we need to keep reading in Ephesians 2. It is true that it is by grace and by grace alone that we have been saved. Thank God. It is by grace, because we never would be able to save ourselves. And so we had to trust in the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus, the Savior. Amen? Amen? It's not of ourselves. It's a gift. Why did God send his own Son to be our Savior? It's a gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's a gift of God. It's not the result of our works. It is the result of Jesus' works. Amen. So no one can boast. No one can say, well, you know, I was brilliant enough to figure this out and trust it. No. God revealed it. Amen. No one can boast. And so salvation by grace, through faith, it's a humbling thing. And it ought to humble us. And that's a good thing because, frankly, we tend to think too highly of ourselves. Ask me how I know this. But the Lord is good to humble us as we need to be humbled. And then to focus our thoughts on who is great. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? But verse 10 tells us that there is a place for works. First of all, we are his workmanship. We're God's good works. You ever think about that? You are God's workmanship. You are God's piece of work. I say that a little bit jokingly, but what I really mean is you are God's masterpiece. You are God's work of art. And as a preacher said before me, and I think he's right, and it helps cement the idea, God don't make no junk. Amen? When God creates something, he does all things well. Amen. We are his workmanship, God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus. That's important. We have to understand the workmanship in the context of being in Christ. It's all about being in Christ. You're no longer an Adam if you're in Christ. No longer under the law if you're under the Spirit. No longer subject to death if you're under life. No longer under the law if you're under grace. And so we're in Christ, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's our purpose now. I live to do good works to the glory of God through the Spirit by the power that he puts inside by the Spirit. I live for good works, which God prepared beforehand, or which God predestined beforehand, that we should walk in them. Walking as children of light. Amen? And so we are to be fruitful, but then we're also to be stuck on Jesus. Are you stuck on Jesus? Are you sticking with Jesus? We need to separate from the world, but stick to Jesus. And that's what is going on. That's what life is about. Life is about a separation of light from darkness, of good from evil, of chaos from order. So when you go to work, what comes before you at the beginning of the day is chaos. And you need to make order of it. That's why it's hard. That's why sweat comes from our brow, because there's chaos in the world. We need to bring order to it. Now, some of you have to teach. Well, if you're teaching a child, you're trying to bring order to the thinking and life of that child. Now, the best way to do that, I think, is to introduce the child to the Lord Jesus Christ. But somehow there are those who think that, no, it's better just to teach children how to live life without God. Well, that doesn't work very well. And we're finding that out again and again. And the more money we throw at our education to teach people how to live life without God, the worse things get. Someday it's going to dawn on people that it's better to have God in the process of education. And there are some who see that. I guess that's why there are those who homeschool. There are those who send people to Christian schools. And I guess there are those who actually teach in the schools and try to inject God into the equation, but it's getting more and more difficult for them to do that. And you can ask me how I know this, because I've taught as a substitute teacher in the public schools, and they do make it hard. You can do it, but you have to really be determined to do it and be willing to take negative consequences from time to time. But we need to be about that separation. And so we ourselves need to bear good fruit. Goodness. How can I bear the fruit of goodness? As I abide in Jesus, as I trust in Jesus, Jesus' goodness starts to come from my life. As I abide in Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus starts to come from my life. Romans, really, it starts to come from his life. How do I know that? Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So his righteousness starts to come through my life. I also need to bear the fruit of truth. Bear the fruit of truth. The truth what? Of Jesus. As it says in Ephesians 4, it says, they became callous, verse 4:19, and they're given over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. So as we abide in Jesus, the fruit of truth comes from our lives. Excuse me. And then there's the fruit of learning to please the Father. Learning to please the Father. Verse 10. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Is that what you want to do? Do you want to please your heavenly Father? Jesus didn't seek to please himself, but he sought to please the Father. He said, even as he considered going to the cross, thinking about what it would be like to be separated from the Father, experiencing the equivalent of an eternity separated from God, thinking about when he would quote Psalm 22 and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? You don't go into that kind of a situation lightly. And so he says, Father, if it's possible, please, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, yet not my will, but thy will be done. There was no other way, no way for us to be made righteous. There was no way except for he who knew no sin to become sin, that we in him might become the righteousness of God. That was the only way. Only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ could we be made righteous. And so he went through with it. He did what was pleasing to the Father. Amen? And so we need to learn what is pleasing to the Father. We need to live sacrificial lives. We need to give ourselves up. We need to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. And we'll be talking about husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. And then wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's a sacrifice too, because it's a sacrifice of will. And saying, I'm not going to do what I want. I'm going to do what God wants. I'm going to submit myself to him and trust him to work through my husband. And so that's God's way for marriage. We'll be talking about that coming up, but not this week. So we bear the fruit of goodness, the goodness of Jesus. We bear the fruit of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. We bear the truth of Jesus, and we bear the pleasing of the Father of Jesus. And we break away from sin. Rather than having fellowship with sin, we're to expose it. Expose the sin to the light of God's word. Amen? That's how we can make the separation. If God says, don't do it, don't do it. And if God says, do it, by all means, do it. Amen? Do what the scripture says. Don't dare do what it says not to do. Don't dare. Are we going to dare God? Oh boy. Oh boy. Don't do it. Don't dare God. I promise you, you will be sorry if you dare God by doing what he says not to do. I promise you, you will be very sorry if you dare God, either by doing what he says not to do or daring not to do what he says to do. Now, God is giving us heads up, right? Because light exposes darkness. And Jesus is the light of the world. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead, and he will judge us by his word. So let's be ready. Amen? So judge yourselves by this word. If God says do it, do it. If he says don't, don't. And you'll be a lot happier that way, I promise you. Or we could say a lot more joyful. Because sometimes it gets more difficult when you follow God's way. But even if there's difficulty, there's joy in knowing that you're pleasing to your Father in heaven. Amen? Let's start with love. Let's not say, well, I love my neighbor. Well, we sometimes love our theoretical neighbor. You know, I love my neighbor. Well, what about your actual nearest neighbor, people in your family, maybe the ones that are hard to get along with, need to love them. Don't say, I hope so is listening to this. You need it, and I need it. And so we need to love the people closest to us. Amen? Love, forgive, repeat. Love, forgive, repeat. Amen? Because that's what God does with you. He loves you, he forgives you, and then he repeats. He also, he might throw in a little discipline there too, so that we stop doing the things that we need forgiveness for. You can ask me how I know that too. So let's believe the truth that we are light in the Lord. Be the light and then do what light does. Light is fruitful. Bear the fruit of light and then break away from that sin. Expose it and have nothing to do with it. And then lastly, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever done something maybe that nobody knows about, just because you've done something, just because you love Jesus? I'm going to do this. I'm going to bless this person just because I love Jesus. Try that. Try doing something different today to bless someone just because you love Jesus. And don't tell anybody. But tell your Father in heaven. He already knows, but you can tell him. He's glad to hear from his children. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, our Father. You are the Father of lights, and you dwell in inapproachable light. And there is a glory about you that if we weren't shielded by Jesus, it would wipe us out. And so we recognize you as the God of glory. We recognize Jesus as the Lord of glory. If they had known that he was the Lord of glory, they would not have crucified him. But they didn't know. And you use that sacrifice to transfer us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son. And so we thank you for this grace in which we stand. We thank you for the good news that we are no longer darkness, but we are now light in the Lord. Help us now, Holy Spirit, to walk as children of light. And then we pray, Lord, that we would awake, that you would awaken us, that we would rise from the dead, and the mighty light of Christ will shine on us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.